Welcome to our Literary Lexington Downtown Walking Tour. Lexington's literary history spans over 200 years, from the establishment of the first Western printing press that helped secure Kentucky's statehood to its iconic representations in American fiction. This rich literary heritage reflects the city's evolving identity, marked by moments of oppression and war, but also by progress and connection. The tour begins in front of Central Library at 140 East Main Street. Feel free to move closer to the corner of Main Street and Limestone to get a better view of Courthouse Plaza at 120 North Limestone. Stop 1. Downtown sights from the Queen's Gambit from 1960, Ben Snyder Department Store and the Phoenix Hotel, 140 East Main Street, viewing 120 North Limestone Street. When the novel The Queen's Gambit was published in 1983, readers were introduced to several locations in 1960s Lexington that the main character Beth visited as a child. The novel's author, Walter Tevis, grew up in Lexington and attended the University of Kentucky. He later taught English and other subjects at various schools and colleges throughout Kentucky. In the early chapters of the novel, Beth visits the Ben Snyder Department Store and later stays for a time at the Phoenix Hotel, which were directly across Main Street from each other. By the time Walter was writing the novel in the early 1980s, both locations were already gone. The Ben Snyder Department Store, part of a small Louisville-based chain, had opened an ambitious five-story location on Lexington's Main Street in 1935. However, the store closed in 1980 due to declining sales, and the building was demolished in 1993. The site is now home to the Robert F. Stevens Courthouse Plaza and the Fayette County Circuit and District Courthouses. The iconic Phoenix Hotel, which had been the oldest hotel in Lexington, closed in 1977 and was torn down by early 1982. The hotel originated as a 20-room log house in 1797 and grew over nearly 180 years into a grand hotel with nearly 400 rooms by the time it closed. Today, the site hosts the Park Plaza Apartments, Phoenix Park, and the Central Library of the Lexington Public Library. Walk to the corner of Limestone Street and East Main Street. Cross Limestone Street and continue to Upper Street. Cross Main Street at the crosswalk with North Upper Street. Continue on North Upper Street until you reach the corner of North Upper Street and West Short Street. Stop 2, site of Belle Breezing's boarding house from the 1900s. The corner of North Upper Street and West 2nd Street, across from the Sire Hotel. Belle Breezing was a famous madam in Lexington from the 1880s through 1917, and she was rumored to be highly successful. After closing her doors in 1917, she remained at her house on North Upper Street until her death in 1940. There is some evidence suggesting that the character of Belle Watling from the novel Gone with the Wind was based on Belle Breezing, a popular theory. However, the novel's author, Margaret Mitchell, denied the connection. Mitchell's husband, John Marsh, attended the University of Kentucky and worked for a local newspaper. He assisted Mitchell with the novel by conducting research, proofreading, and copy editing. When Gone with the Wind was released in 1936, it became an instant bestseller and won the Pulitzer Prize in 1937. The character of Belle Watling, a madam in the novel, shared many characteristics with Belle Breezing, who would have certainly been known to a local reporter. Walk down North Upper Street to Mechanic Street. Turn left on Mechanic Street. Cross the byway. 228 Mechanic Street is on your left at the corner of Mechanic Street and Market Street. Stop 3, Francis Dallam Peters' Civil War Diary, 1862 to 1864, 228 Mechanic Street. Francis Peter was born in Lexington in 1843, the fourth of 11 children of Dr. Robert Peter and his wife, Francis Dallam. Her English-born father had immigrated to the United States as a boy. After marrying his Lexington-born wife and graduating from Transylvania University, he settled in Lexington, where he worked as a chemist and served on the medical faculty at Transylvania while raising his family. Frances was educated locally at Sayre School, but was limited in her activities due to epilepsy. When Frances was 19, war came to Lexington. During most of the Civil War, Union forces occupied the city, but skirmishes frequently broke out in and around the area, which had grown to about 10,000 residents. In the fall of 1862, attacks occurred around Ashland and in the surrounding countryside. Gratz Park itself became a makeshift military hub, hosting a horse shed, guardhouse, and a camp for Union soldiers. From the windows of her Gratz Park home, Frances had a front row seat to the unfolding conflict. She kept a vigilant watch and recorded remarkably detailed accounts of troop movements, local rumors, and personal observations. Her diary captured conversations, opinions, and sympathies, offering an intimate glimpse into the divided community. Using scraps of paper and medical supply forms, she stitched her diary together, documenting events from 1862 until April 1864, a rare and invaluable record of the local wartime experience. Lexington was deeply divided, with next-door neighbors often holding opposing loyalties. Dr. Peter, as the senior surgeon for Union troops, was actively involved in the city's wartime efforts. The community endured looting, arson, and violence, leaving businesses and families in distress. Frances passed away in August 1864 from complications related to epilepsy, never living to see the end of the war. Cross Market Street to Gratz Park. The fountain is at the front of the park, facing West 3rd Street. Stop 4, the Fountain of Youth in Gratz Park. Gratz Park. James Lane Allen was born in 1849 in Lexington, the youngest of seven children. After graduating from Transylvania University in 1872, he worked as a Greek and Latin teacher in Missouri before returning to Lexington. There he served as a tutor and later became the head of the Academy of Kentucky University in 1878. Following a brief tenure at Bethany College in West Virginia, Allen resigned in 1883 to pursue writing full-time. Although he had already begun writing magazine articles, primarily Kentucky travelogues and short stories, it was the publication of his third novel, A Kentucky Cardinal, in 1894 that propelled him to national and international fame. Throughout his life, Allen wrote dozens of novels and articles, often alternating between New York City and Lexington. He moved permanently to New York City in the early 1900s after his novel, The Reign of Law, sparked controversy in Lexington due to its references to the theory of evolution. Allen continued to write until his death in 1925, at which point he returned to Lexington to be buried in the Lexington Cemetery. Despite his long absence, he left the rights and royalties of his books to Lexington, along with a bequest for a fountain to be built for the city's children. The fountain was installed in 1933 and remains in Gratz Park today. James Lane Allen's childhood home, Scarlet Gate, still stands in Lexington and is listed in the National Register of Historic Places. In honor of his legacy, the road leading to Scarlet Gate was renamed from Cold Spring Pike to Lane Allen Road after his death. Walk down the sidewalk on North Mill Street. Turn left at the corner of North Mill Street and West 2nd Street. The Carnegie Center for Literacy is set back from the street. Feel free to walk around the grounds as you listen to the next stop. Stop 5, former Lexington Public Library main branch. 251 West 2nd Street. The Lexington Library traces its origins back to January 1795, when a series of meetings led to the establishment of what was initially called the Transylvania Library. By that time, the Transylvania Seminary, founded in 1780, was already well established, and the new library was intended to be housed there. However, this library was not solely for Transylvania's use. It was a subscription library, where shareholders could purchase up to 200 shares at $5 each. Once the details were finalized, the library used the funds to order over 300 books from Philadelphia. In 1795, travel was still very difficult, with only a few mountain passes, such as the Cumberland Gap, connecting regions. Most travelers relied on a mix of boats and wagons. Philadelphia, more than 500 miles from Lexington by direct route, was much farther by road and river. It took a full year for the books to arrive. And in 1796, the library opened its doors, sort of. On the first Saturday of each month, subscribers could borrow up to 2 volumes at a time. The annual subscription fee was $1.50, which was unaffordable for many local residents. Over the next century, the library's location changed several times, often occupying corners of downtown businesses, until the Lexington Public Library was officially founded in 1898. The books in the subscription library's lease were transferred to the new public library. In 1902, a prominent local attorney approached Andrew Carnegie for funding to build a dedicated public library. Carnegie agreed on the condition that the library would remain public and receive city support. Transylvania University sold land in Gratz Park for the new library, and in June 1905, the Carnegie Library opened as the new home of the Lexington Public Library. It remained in operation until March 1989, when the Central Library opened on Main Street. In 1992, the Carnegie Building became the Carnegie Center for Literacy and Learning, continuing to serve and support the Lexington community. Cross North Mill Street. 201 North Mill Street is the brick building on the corner of North Mill Street and West 2nd Street. It is currently the Bluegrass Trust for Historic Preservation offices. Stop 6, birthplace of Dr. Thomas Hunt Morgan, 201 North Mill Street. Thomas Hunt Morgan was born shortly after the Civil War into one of the wealthiest families in Lexington. A brilliant student, he began attending the University of Kentucky at the age of 16, when it was still known as the State College. Over the course of his scientific career, Morgan earned a Ph.D. in zoology from Johns Hopkins University in 1890, at the age of 24. Morgan spent more than 20 years of his career at Columbia University before moving to the California Institute of Technology in 1928. Throughout his career, he authored over 20 books and hundreds of scientific papers on genetics and natural selection. He is best known for pioneering the use of the Drosophila fruit fly to study genetics, chromosomes, and mutations. His fly room at Columbia became world-renowned. In 1933, he was awarded the Nobel Prize for his groundbreaking work in genetics. The impact of Morgan's research continues to be felt today, not only in our understanding of genetics, but also in the ongoing use of fruit flies in scientific experiments, leading to new discoveries across various fields of research. Cross West 2nd Street and follow North Mill Street to the corner of Main Street and North Mill Street. Stop 7. Site of the True American Newspaper, 1845. Corner of Main Street and North Mill Street, 105 North Mill Street. The True American was an anti-slavery newspaper founded by Cassius Marcellus Clay in June 1845. Clay, often seen as a larger-than-life figure, was born into a wealthy Kentucky political family that enslaved many people. He was also a cousin of Henry Clay. His conversion to abolitionism occurred in 1832 at the age of 22 when he heard journalist William Lloyd Garrison deliver a fiery speech at Yale. Garrison, renowned for publishing the anti-slavery newspaper The Liberator in Boston for over 30 years, influenced Clay profoundly. Clay later described hearing the speech as being like water to a thirsty wayfarer. Clay entered politics in the 1830s. But by the time he launched The True American in 1845, his outspoken anti-slavery views had led to the downfall of his political career. He received numerous death threats, engaged in many physical confrontations, and even survived an assassination attempt in 1843. Clay was unafraid to speak out or resort to violence when he deemed it necessary. Just 2 months after starting The True American, Clay published an article deemed so inflammatory that a court ordered his press shut down. Foreseeing potential attacks, he armed his printing shop with 2 brass cannons and other weapons. Ultimately, a committee removed his press while he was incapacitated with fever. Undeterred, Clay continued publishing The True American in Cincinnati until 1847, distributing copies in Lexington. Clay lived until 1903, long enough to witness the abolition of slavery. He is buried in Richmond Cemetery near his beloved home, Whitehall, in Madison County. Cross Main Street and turn right, following Main Street to Broadway. Turn left and walk to the corner of Vine Street and Broadway. Stop 8, first location of the Kentucky Gazette newspaper, 1787. Corner of Vine Street and Broadway, 369 West Vine Street. The first printing site of the Kentucky Gazette was a small shop housed in a double log cabin near the corner of Main Street and Main Cross Street, later renamed Broadway. When Kentucky was still part of Virginia, delegates began meeting in Danville as early as 1784 to discuss separation. However, they soon realized the process was far more difficult without nearby printers to publish newspapers and bills. A surveyor named John Bradford saw an opportunity and offered to establish a printing press on the condition that he would receive all of the state's printing business. It took Bradford several months to travel to Philadelphia, purchase a small Washington-style hand press, learn to use it, and transport it nearly 600 miles down the Ohio River to Maysville. Once there, he hauled it another 70 miles by wagon to Lexington, which at the time had fewer than 1,000 residents, but was still Kentucky's largest town. The first issue of the Kentucky Gazette was printed on August 11th, 1787. The newspaper had 180 subscribers, each paying 18 shillings a year for a weekly edition. John and his brother, Fielding Bradford, produced the issues using a letterpress, setting each letter by hand. When Kentucky became a state 5 years later, the Gazette was awarded the contract to publish official state announcements for £100 per year. The Bradfords later expanded their business, printing pamphlets, flyers, and books. It would be nearly a decade before another newspaper press was established in Kentucky. Cross Broadway to Triangle Park. Feel free to walk around the park while listening to the next stop. Stop 9, R.C.O. Benjamin's Assassination, 1900. Triangle Park, formerly 60 West Main Street. In 1897, Robert Charles O'Hara Benjamin moved to Lexington with his young family. At just 41 years old, he had already built an incredibly diverse career across the United States as a Black author, teacher, and eventually a lawyer. In 1887, he became the first Black man admitted to the California bar and was possibly the first Black editor of a white newspaper. He also published several books. By the time he settled in Lexington in the late 1890s, R.C.O. Benjamin was a well-known civil rights activist, outspoken against racial violence and inequality in both his speeches and writings. In Lexington, he became the editor of the Lexington Standard, one of the city's African-American newspapers, while also practicing law. Benjamin frequently used his platform to challenge racial injustice, directly criticizing local politicians and discriminatory laws in print. The Standard's masthead boldly declared, "The Standard publishes what it pleases, regardless of race, color, or sex." His activism inevitably brought him into conflict with the deeply entrenched racism at the time, particularly during the election of 1900. Although the 15th Amendment, ratified in 1870, guaranteed all American men the right to vote regardless of race, the reality was far different. For Black men, voting remained dangerous and often deadly. Many states, including Kentucky, passed laws designed to restrict Black voter participation while racial violence escalated around election season. In October and early November, intimidation tactics such as threats, riots, and physical violence were common at polling stations. Kentucky was rife with political unrest, so much so that the state's governor was assassinated in February of 1900. On October 2nd of that year, R.C.O. Benjamin confronted a white man named Mike Moynihan, who was harassing black men attempting to register to vote. Moynihan attacked Benjamin and was arrested for assault. However, upon his release from jail that evening, Moynihan tracked down Benjamin and shot him multiple times in the back. Benjamin collapsed near his home, which also housed the Standard's printing office on Main Street. He died from his injuries. At trial, Moynihan successfully pled self-defense and walked free. Yet RCO Benjamin's legacy in Lexington endured. His fearless fight for racial equality inspired the next generation, who carried on the struggle for justice in the years that followed. To return to the library, cross Broadway at the corner of Main Street and Broadway. Continue down East Main Street to the library, crossing at crosswalks with traffic signals, and when safe, to do so.
This concludes our tour. Thank you for joining Lexington Public Library on this walk through Lexington's past and present. If you enjoyed the tour, check out our other tours on our website at www.lexpublib.org/walkingtours.